Good morning, everyone. We welcome you to our Sunday morning roundtable discussion with the subject of soul. We are recording from the Plainfield Christian Science Church, Independent, Plainfield, New Jersey, in the United States of America. And we are so glad that you could join us today on this rainy, wintry next day here in Plainfield while Dan is getting 2 feet of snow. So, okay, start with our morning prayer.
I'm reading from Divinity Course in General Collectania, page 63, a prayer for oneself. I thank thee, Father, Mother, God, that neither ignorant, fraudulent, nor malicious mortal mind can reach me, affect me mentally, physically, financially or otherwise, and I know it. For God is the only power, that I am not the victim of aggressive mental suggestion, nor the target of malicious animal magnetism, claiming to operate through any channel whatever. But I am the blessed legal child of God, spiritual, immortal, all harmonious, perfect, happy, healthy, pure, sinless, free, and fearless, and diseaseless, and deathless, expressing the substance of all good. Hold yourself constantly and consciously under God's eternal law of blessing, of happiness, harmony, health, peace, joy, power, progress, protection, abundance. There is no other law, only a contrary mortal mind lie, which you are awake and alert to and not under. Mary Baker Eddy.
Beautiful, thank you. And Karen, the watching point, and welcome back.
Watch 239. Watch that in your effort to see the perfection of what you reflect, you include the endeavor to see the perfection of your reflection of it. The mirror not only sees that the light is perfect, but that its reflection of it is perfect too. In science, the thought and the thinker are both perfect. If spirit is what man reflects, then soul is what man reflects with. Spirit and soul being God, in their expression in man, they form a perfect whole in quality and quantity, in content and capacity.
Thank you. Comments on that?
Well, as I was thinking about this, what came to me was that we are all expressions of God, spirit, but soul is our identity, our individuality, and it also has to be as perfect as that spirit which we are reflecting. So that's that's how I see it.
That's beautiful. Thank you.
Well, I hope everybody finds this very encouraging and uplifting. You know, all of the world has got a picture before us of less than perfection. But then again, Jesus has assured us that with God, all things are possible. And with spirit, soul, all good is possible. And that's an absolute truth. I think it's important to hold on to, especially when we're, you know, in this world, but we don't have to be of the world. We're here for a purpose, and that is to be the image and likeness of the one that sent each and every one of us and gave us a purpose for being.
Thank you.
And you don't
like it.
Go ahead.
Well, Mr. Sedi says on page 242 of Miscellany that unless you perceive that you are the child of God, hence perfect, you have no principle to demonstrate and no rule for its demonstration. I like that because it's telling me, you know, if I am this individuality, this immortal self, perfect because God is perfect, then I need to keep that uppermost in my thinking. And this is how I'm going to know that this is what I need to demonstrate, or this is what how I have to live. So that was useful to me.
Thank you very much. Jeremy?
Yeah, thank you, because I was just thinking that any thought that we are imperfect and unable to be perfect reflections is just old theology. So good.
Yes, thank you. Okay. I thought today, you know, we have teachers here. Excuse me, I think I went from squeaky to froggy, but Mrs. Evans, when she would feel this way, she would tell this joke about a man who thought he had a frog in his throat. And then she would say, and the frog who thought he had a man in his throat. Did I say that right? Anyway, I always thought that. But she carried on, and so will I. And also, thank you. Many of you sent me jokes this week, and it was just wonderful. I appreciate it. I had a good laugh for many jokes. So thank you for that. Well, anyway, what I was saying is we have, you know, teachers, Sunday school teachers, Chardell and Linda and a few others do the youngest, and Florence does the older group. So I thought today they could share with us a little bit of their ideas, what they were going to share with the children about soul. Shardy. Okay.
It starts out as a letter to the children. Hello, dear children. Last week, we talked about Spirit as God leading you and showing you all the things good. And this week, we will talk about the synonym soul. Your joy, creativity, and abilities are the expression of soul coming directly from God. Your beautiful soul reflects soul, God, so you see beauty all around you in music, dancing, gymnastics, skating, sledding, at home and at school, playing the piano or violin, wherever you are. Soul, a word that signifies beauty, happiness, harmony, peace. Soul is the substance of all beauty, Bicknell Young. The first commandment tells us, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. The 23rd Psalm says, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. God will restore or return your joy and happiness anytime you are sad, worried, or afraid. God is always guiding and guarding and governing you. Think about God wherever you are and whatever you are doing. Have a happy week, dear children, and our prayer. God made me. God loves me. God with me.
Thank you.
Who wouldn't feel better after hearing
exactly.
that, really?
That's right.
A lot of time and prayer over that.
Yes,
I feel better after that.
Yeah. Thank you. Yep. And the beauty of soul. So wonderful, the beauty and the joy of it all. Okay, Florence, tell us about your class a little bit.
Oh, they're older. One child is a bit older, 17, and he understands English as well as Swahili, so he sort of translates, you know, often some of the things. The children, they know some English, but at certain points he has to translate to them. So we're going to share today about man is as a reflection of soul. I think Mrs. Eddy's description of the sun and its rays makes it very vividly clear as to what man is in relation to God. And man is not God, but like a ray of light which comes from the sun, man, the outcome of God, reflects God. And this week is about man or God as soul. Therefore, these attributes, beauty, grandeur, honor, peace, innocence, calmness, strength, and grace. So all these are attributes of soul which they can, or we all can express. And then we're going to talk about man as a child of God. You know, because he is, God is all good, man as a reflection must be all good also. So whenever someone becomes aware of anything that makes them not good, you're going to pray. You want to work to know that this is not me. And also you know that, for example, if you're being fearful, is something, this is fear, is not from God. So I will know that this is not from God until that fear dissipates or fades away. You will know who you are by knowing that you are compassionate, kind, funny, patient, beautiful, confident. And God is with us everywhere we go, and he loves us. Okay. And then you also have to know that we do not walk around like a poor little me with nothing to do for the world, but to think that you are an idea of God, right? Your mind, God tells you what to do, and it's always, you know, encouraging you to do good for the rest of the world. Mm-hmm. And so we walk as a child of God, listening for his direction. You know that he's seeing you and his presence is with you always, expressing himself through you. That's it.
Thank you. Those are beautiful lessons on soul for our dear children. And Florence has these children call from Kenya. And how many are there? There are a lot of them.
Yeah, sometimes it's a neighborhood affair, but sometimes the main people are about four, really, but then they bring their friends and cousins as well sometimes.
It's wonderful. And they have the most beautiful biblical names, right? Abraham, yeah. And...
Well, Gabriel, Abigail, Abraham, and Mary. Those are the four in one family, yes.
Isn't that beautiful? Like yeah, those are so beautiful.
Yeah.
God home. And it was from another dear friend in Kenya that gave
in
us.
Kenya, yeah.
Yes. So grateful for that. Thank you both. And now these lessons are posted on our children's website every week.
Yes.
And if you can't call in or you can't time difference or something, you can always share these ideas with your children or neighbors or anybody if you want to. I know Stefan was doing this too in Germany for his grandchildren. Beautiful Sunday school lesson.
Mm-hmm.
And Chardet, he still does good. I'm so glad. He had beautiful pictures on his, and Chardel had some beautiful pictures on hers too. And
Jesus, just beautiful.
Yeah, so
that's the class from Africa.
No, that's the Sunday school lesson.
This is the younger ones. So anyway, those are beautiful thoughts on soul. My favorite other than what Mrs. Eddy has said about soul, is Bicknell Young, who in 1937 college speaks about soul. And I think I'll have Gary read some of this, so or maybe all of it. But anyway, it's very beautiful. Go ahead, Gary.
Starting again. Okay. This is from Bicknell Young's 1936 primary class. He writes, "Spirit is the substantial, enduring, ever-present, ever-well, ever-active, ever-harmonious substance of all creation. The substance of you, all the substance you have got. Soul indicates something else. As it is used humanly, the word soul has a kind of a meaning a little higher than the word spirit. Everything that is beautiful is said to be produced by soul. It is, if you like, that particular ability of infinity to express itself in infinite beauty throughout creation. Everything that is beautiful, that we know anything about, has its origin in soul, divine mind. That is the reason that in order to express beauty, a person must be something besides an intellectual. There are thousands of people who cannot express anything in the nature of beauty because they have no soul. Oh, well, they have a soul, of course, but they have not awakened to soul. Some people express it with great spontaneity in one way and lack it in all other ways. Some can sing, some can paint. Expressed in one direction, we call it artistic nature. But it should not be one-sided. Understanding soul better, we do not lose anything that is legitimate or proper in the way of expression, but become more and more effective or more helpful to the world. At one time, I was a professional singer and was soloist at First Church in Chicago when services were being held in the old auditorium theater. I found that selecting my songs and rendering them so as to please all was a disturbing and impossible task. Then one day, as I was entering the theater, it came to me that if there was anything true about singing, then everyone was singing. This straightened everything out because we were all singing together. That is the nature of soul. Beauty cannot be affected by any belief because it has its being in God. It is all the time, forever, one with its own infinitude and perfection. It cannot be afflicted or impaired in any way because there is no other power or presence. There is no conceivable way in which it could be injured because there is nothing to conceive of injury. Beauty in all its glorious perfection is conceived by God alone as the conception of God. Beauty, regardless of any material seeking, is spiritual. Like truth, it is eternal. So don't criticize anyone for trying to be beautiful. We'll all be beautiful in heaven, you may be sure."
It goes on a little bit, but I love what he said about the beauty of soul. You know, that there's nothing going to be ugly, yes, in heaven. And it's something to think about. Do we make our homes beautiful, ourselves beautiful the best we can? Because that's an expression of Lawrence, what?
No, without any cutting here and cutting there.
Right.
And not without any surgery, I was saying. Yeah. Beautiful. to be beautiful, like you're saying. Yeah.
Right, plastic surgery. Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. That's it, I guess. I have, you know, you look at the flowers, how beautiful they are. Mm. I have these little violets, and they've come out. I just, they're such perfect little pictures of beauty. Mm. Beautiful purple and violet colors in the middle of winter, blooming. And this is what God does to make all things beautiful in soul. And that's why, as Bignell Young said, the music too. We talk about people who sing or play an instrument and they have soul. Well, that's important, right? If you don't have soul, the music sounds pretty boring.
Might
well have the painting. Yes.
Yeah.
The painting doesn't come out as good.
So whatever you do, do it with soul and do it with love. Mm-hmm. Now, what meant a lot to me this week was Dunaway poems. I don't know if you have them, but if you don't, you should get them. I don't know a lot about Max Dunaway, except he was an early worker, practitioner. And he wrote these books. One book is Triumph and Other Poems. The other one is called Daily Angels. We've had them in our magazine continually because they're so beautiful. Mm-hmm. So, and they're not published anymore. So if you want them, you have to, you know, get an older copy of it, which is why you should get online and do that. As long as they're available, which they are. Mm-hmm. And so
maybe like Amazon.
Yeah, that's it. So go ahead.
Thank you for all the things about souls said. There was something that I got inspired, like about can we really be without soul? Because we know God is soul, is always with us. So in truth, just want to share, in truth, it's impossible to be without soul, just as it's impossible to be without spirit or without God's truth. So mm-hmm. as long as we can keep awake to that, only in thought we can be away from it, right? But in truth, we can never be away from soul. So beauty is always with us. I have the privilege, I think, and honor to be very close to artists. And it's just beauty is everything. And it is also for all of us because God is everything and is always with us. And it is such a wonderful thing. I have to say that relation also made me realize about taking care of ourselves. That's also honoring God as soul, taking care of ourselves in every possible way as the temple of the living God was to me inspired us being part of that soul. Thank you to share that.
Thank you. Okay. I'm going to have Bruce read the poem. Day Beauty. Thank you.
Day Beauty. As beautiful as day, dear God, so let me live a life of light. As clear and certain as the dawn, growing in strength, let me go on, till truth and love outshine the night. As joyous as the singing birds, dwelling in you, my great strong tree, May I, like them, pour forth my voice, and with the breaking light rejoice in praise of all the good I see. As glowing as the eastern sky, just as the sun comes into view, let my love rise above the hill of selfishness and sense until its rays burst forth direct and true. Then, as the full, rich warmth of noon brings life and strength to everything, may I express vitality, your power animating me, till others feel the peace you bring. As busy as the buzzing bees, let me be active in my work of serving you, nor stop to ask why mine is not a better task. The one you give, let me not shirk. As restful as the evening chord, when every care has gone away, let me be wrapped in peace of soul until my life is pure and whole, as beautiful, dear God, as day.
Isn't that beautiful? And that's the beauty of soul that Max Dunaway would express. Thank you, Bruce. I know Craig loves Max Dunaway. He sometimes quotes him in his testimonies.
And Linda also.
Linda. I love them, yes.
Yeah.
They saved me when I first came here. They were on the website, and I think you have Mrs. Evans reading some of them.
Yes, we do.
I used to listen to them at night, and I was up and with challenges, and I just found such great comfort and encouragement.
You could tell he'd been through a lot and overcame it. And just the way he words things, you know, of course, Mrs. Eddy was such a beautiful poet. Mm-hmm. You know, there's so many ways to express God's soul. Mm-hmm. And we all should have our ways because we're all individuals. I know many of you like to paint and draw. Many of you are musicians. You sing beautifully or play the violin or whatever instrument you do. And many of you, yes, try poetry, try writing your feelings. Mm-hmm. The thing about it is you're focusing on the good. You're giving yourself time to focus on the enduring, the good, and the true. If you're a soul giver. So, and here's a couple more by him.
Oh, can I just mention one thing?
Sure.
So
you're reminding me.
Oh. No, it's time.
Just about what you just said, it reminded me of that wonderful quote, soul has infinite resources, which we to bless mankind.
Thank you, yes. Mm-hmm. And we must be those expressions. Okay, Tom, go ahead.
Okay, so we've been developing a catalog of our books at the church, and then adding to the catalog, we add links to the digital copies, if available, right? So I thought I'd mention that Daily Angels by Max Dunaway is available. So it's at Internet Archive, which would be archive.org. So if anybody wanted to read any of the poems in Daily Angels, it's easily available.
Thank you.
Archive.org.
Thank you. So we have it. All of you have it to look up. Here are a couple others. God sends us angels every day to comfort us along our way, to touch our lives with greater worth, and bring a breath of heaven to earth. Today, God whispered, be grateful for your place. Though small your talent seems, it is stamped with my own grace. See that wherever you are, you still show forth my name. The sun sheds forth its light. A candle does the same. I mean, I don't know. It's so beautiful. And then there's another one. It's it starts out with you say that you have failed. You found you cannot bring into this unbelieving world your bit of good. Your friends have gone, your words abused, the gift you long to give refused, and all the work you live to do misunderstood. Well, let me tell you another man who failed, or so it seemed. He died a malefactor's death. He suffered more for what he thought than any other who has brought some good to earth. His name was Jesus of Nazareth. And it goes on for several pages about all that Jesus did and accomplished. And then it ends. Well, you've heard the story, friend. What brought it up? Oh, I remember now. You said that you had failed. And I related this to show that the truth can never go. Through all these storm-filled centuries, it has prevailed. Oh, have faith of him who said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. You cannot fail if you be true. So now return to what you do and live and love and wait and watch and work and pray. So I can go on. I think I'll read a few every week because they're so inspiring. And now, yeah, anyone else want to say anything about him or the poems?
Well, I think the word that describes those poems is soul, obviously.
It is.
And we talk about various talents, you know, the music, the art. You know, we could throw cooking in there too.
Yes, thank you, cooking.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. There's one talent. Most delicious chicken soup this week with homemade biscuits.
But there is one that each and every one of us have, and we all have this in common, and that is the talent of prayer. Can we get our thinking right? Can we do, like that poem says, bring a breath of heaven onto earth? And with this prayer, who knows, other doors will open up. But that's the starting point. Pray with our dear Heavenly Father. Make your mental conversation in heaven. Make it the conversation of soul. And if you do that, that is the source, the starting point. The great one cause of all good. So let's exercise this talent and then see where that leads.
Thank you. And with that, our prayer and our watching. If you think you have nothing to do, that you're worthless or whatever, however it comes, you can pray and you can watch. And as my opinion, that's the most work there is to do. And along with that, is the talent, and everyone has it, whether you think you do or not, and that's love. You can love. We read recently the beautiful poem, Teach Me to Love, and we ask God to teach us all the time, and he does. And he will teach us to love more. I read about someone, she had a desire to help people, but she didn't know who to help. So she just prayed, Father, please open the way. And he would send people to her that needed help. You'd be surprised, you know, as you go about your day, who needs your help, who needs your love. So, and with that, there's a, our, back to our virtual medicine, potions of God's own qualities. And we've talked about a lot of them. This is a newspaper series, but I've been so heartened by it. In any way, we talked about awe last week and honesty and truth. Yes, honesty and truth, forgiveness. There's a whole list. So this week, it's on love. And
hello?
Ingrid, please wait, okay?
Sorry, we'll see. Sorry. I thought you were done. I'm sorry.
This is what this article said, part of it. Dr. Eben Alexander lay in a hospital bed, his mind sleeping into a deep coma as his chances of survival was only 2%. For the next 7 days, his brain showed no activity. By every medical standard, Alexander, a distinguished graduate of Duke Medical School and a Harvard-trained neurosurgeon, should not have returned and lived. And yet, he not only survived, but he also emerged from the coma with a story that would change his life and stretch scientific explanation. While in the coma, he left his body and saw himself floating above a landscape of vibrant light and color, a phenomenon referred to as a near-death experience. During this, he encountered a radiant woman who delivered a message he would never forget. You are deeply loved and cherished forever. You have nothing to fear. You are richly cared for. Alexander believes his survival wasn't just a stroke of luck. Love, he says, was the force that pulled him back from the brink of death. And then it goes on, a medicine beyond this world said that his life had been highly desirable by most standards. But then it said that even though he'd been raised by loving parents, he harbored a gnawing sense of abandonment. I had this subconscious belief that maybe I didn't deserve to exist because he had been adopted at birth. This made that I didn't deserve love since my own mother had given me away. But he said when he encountered this overwhelming, tremendous love, pure, conditional, unconditional, and absolute, this love cured the deepest scars of his past and left him with the message that love is the ultimate creative force in the universe. Now, of course, we as Christian Scientists, we know this, right? But this is so beautiful to hear this beautiful story. And then it goes on about how love naturally lessens feelings of pain. It brings health to your body. People who are surrounded with loving people, loving thoughts, their wounds are healing much quicker than those who entertain negative thoughts. So the heart is universally recognized as a symbol of love. And fittingly, the heart signifies love itself. So, but it said that people, again, who have loving relationships, all of this, they're happier and their bodies heal quickly. Now, if you don't have that, you create it for yourself because God loves you and you can give it forth. You're never without it, that we know. And it says that love heals the heart and inspires peace, harmony, and calmness. So, and one of the most important components of love is trust and safety. But you see, we have all of this in our God, don't we?
Yes.
And one of the doctors goes on to say that the medical practice should be more than just do no harm. the medical staff should truly care for patients with the love and attention they would show friends or family. So love is the liberator. Love is the answer. And I thought that was such a beautiful story. And it goes along with soul too, because here we are. And then this perhaps is my favorite story of all in this article. It says that a young boy, Hugh Perkins, kept pigeons as pets. After falling seriously ill, Perkins was rushed to a hospital 105 miles away for emergency surgery. As he lay recovering, he heard a tap on his window, and amid a heavy snowstorm, when the nurse opened the window, a pigeon flew inside and landed on his chest. It was one of his birds. He had a little band on his little leg. The pigeon had never been to the hospital and could not have known where Perkins was. Now, of course, we know. He knew because God told him. Yes. This is the power of love. This is why we do love our pets, too. Because they express such love and energy and joy, unconditional. And then these ideas are not novel across cultures, religions, and traditions. Love is seen as an unifying energy that transcends and binds individuals. Alexander experienced the force of love during his NDE. He explained that he felt a vast interconnectedness, an underlying reality in which separation is an illusion. In the presence of love, I understood that we are all one. The divisions we see in life between self and other, mind and body, fall away. And then, I mean, that's so beautiful. That's so true. In that love, there's no separation. So these are the things we dwell on. These are the things we think about, not the news carrying on about everything, but the truth of the situation. And it goes on to say, love in practice. Love really is your best medicine. And one of the first ways to do it is to love yourself. Mm-hmm. Treat yourself as a dear friend. Practice self-forgiveness, showing your kindness that you would offer to others. And know that you are worth it. You're worth it. Of course you're worth it. You're God's child. And then to love for others is intentionally cultivated. Repeat a phrase, something like, love your neighbor as yourself. The Sermon on the Mount. Alexander said the universe is built on love and we can align ourselves with it. He suggested that simple practices such as walking through nature or simply giving a helping hand to others can facilitate experiences of love. And he especially cultivated, you know, the love of children, because children, we won't enter the kingdom of heaven unless we are like a child. Right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So become childlike, as Tony the childlike is in our church, expressing those childlike qualities that we all love about children.
It's my one talent, Mary.
Well, thank God. Thank God.
Well, you didn't bury it.
You didn't bury it. Kept it going.
I'll see you tomorrow.
Bye-bye. And then, in all my medical experience, as well as in my own life, I have again and again and again been faced with the mystery of love. And I've never been able to explain what it is. That's Carl Jung, that famous psychiatrist. So, well, we know what it is. It's God. And thank God. So keep your list of virtual medicines, God's potions of his qualities, and live them and let them heal your life in every way and the lives of those you love. So let's see, we're going to end today with...
Excuse me, could I just say it's a very quick quote?
Okay.
Thank you. This is referring to something that was said about Jesus and the suffering and how we're talking about soul and joy, and that's God's will, joy. And here's a quote from Mary Baker Eddy referring to that, that was so revealing and is so important to understand. We have mentioned about all doctrines, and this is exactly about that, very important, that's why. It says, the quote is in 12 Years with Mary Baker Eddy, I'm pretty sure it's page 77. I hope it's right. Science is here to show us the way of attaining the image of God, not through suffering, as did Jesus, but through spiritual understanding. And really pondering this quote and getting all the revelation in this quote is amazing, how it gets us out of the old doctrine that we have to suffer in, that Jesus had to suffer in. This is old doctrine, and it's right there in this quote from Mary Baker Eddy. It's been so wonderful. So I just wanted to share that. Thank you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. There's another beautiful poem by Max Dunaway about that too. Can't find it at the moment, but I will find it and we'll share it next week. So yeah, anyway, so we're going to end with a beautiful article Carrie sent by a wonderful worker, Irving C. Tomlinson.
And this is in the, from a 1924 Sentinel. Entitled, Wherefore Didst Thou Doubt? Peter, overcoming the fear which afflicted the other disciples with him in the ship, was the first to discern and trust Christ's truth. He was the only one of Jesus' followers of his time, or since, as so far as is recorded, who walked on the water. Yet Jesus rebuked him, O thou of little faith! Wherefore didst thou doubt? Why did Peter doubt? He had seen Jesus heal all manner of disease and raise the dead. In his name, Simon himself had cast out devils and healed the sick. Moreover, he beheld Jesus walking on the water and had the assurance from the Master that he himself could do likewise. He knew that Jesus never made a failure and never commanded what could not be fulfilled. Then, wherefore the doubt? A higher understanding awaited Peter, which removed doubt. After their beloved master had left them, a new era dawned, and he had then more than a little faith. Peter instantly healed one crippled from birth. He said to Aeneas, who had been bedridden for 8 years, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise and make thy bed. And he arose immediately. He restored Dorcas to life. When in prison with the death sentence impending, the prison doors were opened through the prayer of faith, and he walked forth free. He met the billows of so-called mortal mind unafraid. We know what freed Peter of fear and took from him all doubt. On the day of Pentecost, when the disciples were all with one accord in one place, the Master's promise, given shortly before the ascension, was realized, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. They were endued with spiritual understanding. They more than believed, in some degree, they understood the divine principle of the one mind underlying science. Hence, our beloved leader, Mary Baker Eddy, says in Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, page 483, quote, to those natural Christian scientists, the ancient worthies, and to Christ Jesus, God certainly revealed the spirit of Christian science, if not the absolute letter, end quote.
Thank you all for joining us today.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.